broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for, it's already November the 20th in the year of our Lord, 2023. This is hour one of two, and the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. Folks, I had a great weekend. I hope you did as well. There's so much going on. It's not even funny. It's kind of interesting. Man, it's amazing when you have computer problems how it just absolutely wrecks everything. Oh, man. You know, I don't need notes really to do the show or to talk or that kind of stuff. But notes help me know what different people are working on or expecting or focused on or whatever you want to call it. And without those notes, it is just so difficult. So for some stupid reason, my email blew up last night. Now I can't even hardly get into my email and get things figured out. And so it's just like, wow. Anyway, it's not like we can't do a show without it. I do have the knowledge for the show. But there's topics that I highlighted. For example, there's five different items that Lowell Nelson sends me that he wants to talk about today. And, you know, a lot of the times what I do for the roundtable is it's not all about Sam Bushman. It's not all about every topic I bring up, although I bring up a lot of topics because I study the news hard. But a lot of my guests bring topics to the table, too, because it is Liberty Roundtable. It's not just Sam Bushman. It's, you know what, each of these groups, each of these people have incredible resources of their own. They have projects they're working on of their own. They have, and so my goal is to really just act as facilitator and help kind of transition and bring their information to the table. I mean, I'll give you a quick example to make the point. You know, last Friday we had on Dr. Scott Radley with me, and we talked about during a meeting of the Asia Pacific Economic Cooperation Conference. The question is, did Biden pick California Governor Gavin Newsom to kind of be his predecessor? Is that kind of in the cards? Because everybody knows that, you know what, Joe Biden's going to have to bow out. He just cannot handle it. Is Newsom the guy? Anyway, we talked about Missy Hampton. I guess her lawyer, Jonathan Miller, she's kind of a person in the Donald Trump cases. He admits to leaking witness video in the Trump election cases. Where's the prosecutions? Where's the accountability? I don't hear the Republicans saying anything about it. All I hear the Republicans say is, oh, yeah, we passed a resolution. We're going to continue to fund the government. What? Yeah, the national debt exceeds $33 trillion and growing at an alarming rate. And all we can do is go ahead and just pass a resolution saying we're going to continue to fund the government. I mean, what is happening to that? Then Sarah Cleveland just gets elected to the International Court of Justice. I mean, these people are criminals. What on earth would we ever agree to and or be part of an International Court of Justice in the first place? It's absolutely sovereignty violating, to say the least. Anyway, we talked about that with Dr. Bradley, first hour on Friday. Second hour, we talked about Speaker MAGA Mike Johnson silences CNBC anchor with history lesson regarding, you know what, they tried to say, hey, how dare you say prayer in Congress, but he absolutely slaughters them and says, hey, it's the history of our nation. We need to pray. Good for Mike on that score, but shame on Mike for passing the debt onto the next generation, for not halting government. I explained on Friday's broadcast how it could be done. By the way, the FCC just voted to take control of the internet. They announced plans to resurrect net neutrality rules. We thought that was dead, but just like the national ID card, or federal ID, whatever you want to call it, they just keep coming back and back and back and back like the enemies of liberty always do, and we fall for it. Wall Street's moving to buy up U.S. farmland like you wouldn't believe. They hope it'll be a hedge against the out-of-control inflation. That's according to Reuters. Well, now they say inflation's moving to deflation. Neither are good. Every one of them robs wealth. It just depends on which side of the coin you want your wealth robbed on. We talked about former Indiana police officer or Minneapolis police officer Eric Chauvin. He charges he was denied evidence of the real cause of George Floyd's death. Yeah. So they withheld evidence is the point. He's asking to overturn the election or his conviction now. The evidence is outlined from a Kansas doctor, William Sheetzel, explaining that after a review of the Floyd autopsy records, he believes that Floyd died from a, quote, complication from a rare tumor that can trigger an adrenaline surge that can oftentimes be fatal. As you know, Floyd had a lot of health problems. As you know, Floyd was on all kinds of drugs, but they say Chauvin killed him. Well, that narrative is being debated now. Anyway, last week I also interviewed political prisoner Ken Cromar from prison. Yeah, the D.C. Correctional Facility. That's not the United States, Washington, D.C. No, it's D.C. right here in Utah. What do they call that, Davis County Prison? Yeah, if it can happen to Barbie and Ken, folks, they claim it could happen to you. MiraclesInGodWeTrust.com is Ken's website. The fact is they want to jail us all. Anyway, then we talked about Glenn Beck wrote a letter to the Israeli government. He wants to be a dual citizen. In my personal opinion, I don't know what you're thinking, Glenn. How dare you? What's wrong with just being a citizen of America, my friend? Anyway, there you have some of the recap stories we talked about over the last several days on your radio. Without further ado, Dr. Scott Bradley's with me. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Well, thank you, Sam. Good to start another week. You know, from your intro, a couple of thoughts come to mind. You talked about your, very frangible presidency of Joe Biden. He's 81 today, by the way. It's his birthday.
Do we say happy birthday, Joe?
Oh, I don't know. I guess. I mean, maybe he's up by now and had his pablum or whatever. But at any rate, I digress a little bit. But it's his 81st birthday, I believe. He was born this day in 1942. Another thing about today, just to kind of get us started, is today is the 78th anniversary of the starting of Nuremberg.1. They didn't call it then Nuremberg.1. It was just Nuremberg trials for the war crimes. I guess I call it .1 in the hope that somebody will pick up the baton and say, we need a .2 on the criminal.
Boy, howdy do we.
Yeah, I think we really kind of do. I think it's kind of one of those, somebody's got to bring this to the light. And I think in the open courtroom, let's put the cameras on. Let's have C-SPAN there videoing and broadcasting the events of the trial. And I think there's some really big name brands that'll be in that trial. And I think that it ought to probably carry down not just to the most big, you know, the big hitters, if you will. You know, the Trumps and the Bidens and the Faucis and all of their cronies in there, but I think governors ought to be included into it. And a lot of the state heads.
Yeah, because the point is the governors knew in advance this was a sham. They started taking the money before it was even a real crisis.
Well, truly, Utah, for example, declared a state of emergency before the nation did. Utah had not had one single death attributed to COVID. In fact, to my knowledge, there was not even a single case to anybody's knowledge in the state. They declared an emergency, poop, couple of days later, oh, there's Donald Trump up there saying it's a national emergency. That opened the floodgates of billions of dollars to Utah. Literally, my friend. And it was like everything has been kind of, the dominoes were set up and they were being knocked down in order. Utah's Governor Herbert kind of maybe jumped the gun a little bit. I think he saw, he was licking his chops and rubbing his hands there, saying, here's billions of dollars coming in. The state had a huge windfall from that. So did a lot of large, shall we say, they call themselves health institutions, but I consider themselves just basically money mongers in most instances. But, I mean, holy cow. Yeah, I think Nuremberg 2.0 is an appropriate thing. So, I don't know. We're, everybody just kind of moves on. It's all good. We're down the road a little further. And of course,
I don't think a lot of us move on, Doctor. I think that the bureaucrats and the deep state moves on for sure. But guys like me and you, for example, you know, we bring this stuff up. We highlight this. We push for this. We advocate. I've been talking about Nuremberg kind of trials, saying, hey, these people are criminals and we need real accountability, since they literally started this thing, since they wanted to force the jab on people. You know, we highlighted the hypocrisy of if you want to murder your baby, you got a right to your body. If you don't want to take some toxic serum that'll ruin your DNA forever, then you don't have that right. And we highlighted that criminal activity from the start. We highlighted that all other vaccine trials, when a few people die, they halt them. In this case, they didn't. We've talked about this. Hold on, let's talk about it more with Dr. Bradley in seconds on your radio.
Looking for an IT partner that truly understands your needs? Managed IT Services is the answer. We meet with you regularly to discuss your goals and form a tailored technology plan. Our customers have called us a trusted advisor who delivers. When it comes to IT, we do it all. Firewalls, cloud storage, server migration, and more. Say goodbye to long-term contracts and hello to a team that earns your business month after month. Call 801-706-6980 now and let Managed IT Services transform your IT experience.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
Matthew 24:24 teaches us that the church is deceived today. Deceived Christians call themselves Judeo-Christians. Around 1900, Jews commissioned the Scofield Reference Bible, which transformed the Jews from Christian killers to the chosen people. Here's the truth. America is in the Bible. Revelation 21. Our form of government came down from heaven. Verse 3. The many Christian ministers at the Constitutional Convention sought God's will. The God-given rights in the Constitution were ordained by God. America is the new promised land for Christian Israel, and Christians are the true chosen people. True Israel is Christian. Listen to Jesus, quote, my sheep follow me, unquote, and, quote, you do not believe because you are not my sheep, unquote. John 10:25-27. The beast has transformed America into the woman mystery Babylon, Revelation chapter 17. For the complete Bible study, write to Christian Knuckles, P.O. Box 210813, Royal Palm Beach, Florida 33421.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
Nuremberg trials, ladies and gentlemen, 78 years ago, starts today. When are we going to start the trials? Look, Anthony Fauci now has been accused of literally destroying records just like Hillary Clinton did. All right? Just like all these other criminals are doing. Destroying records, covering up the crime used to be worse than the crime itself nowadays. But I don't see anybody even talking about the closest person to really trying to get accountability for Fauci is Rand Paul. I don't even hear anybody else, not counting guys like us in the media, with the drumbeat for this, if you will. I think most Americans, as I was saying before the pause, Dr. Scott Bradley, they care. They agree with you and I that this is serious. But the problem is, what can we do about it? It seems like the deep state has absolute control. And you and I can talk, and we're free to talk right now. How long that'll last, I don't know. But nobody else seems to be able to do anything about it is the problem, right?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting to me. You know, you talk about, do they care? I think most of them don't give a hang about anything other than holding their position and lording over and ruling with blood and horror on the earth. And maybe not in literal sense every time, but they really do have a horrific track record of doing things. But I give you an example. I mean, back relatively early in 2020, I wrote a, you know me, Sam, I like to cover details. I wrote a resolution that would have triggered an impeachment review. So it wasn't a resolution that identified every little nuance about how the impeachment of our governor, Governor Gary Herbert, would occur for his egregious actions, his overreach, his legislative authority that he usurped as governor, his criminal activities in causing criminal things to be brought against people, all of that kind of stuff. It was a 15-page proposal that was to go before the Utah legislature that would have said, for these reasons, we believe we ought to review whether or not Governor Herbert ought to be impeached. So it didn't say, as a foregone conclusion, Governor Herbert should or must be impeached or is worthy of it or anything. I outlined the reasons that I think constitutionally, I used the Utah Constitution, the United States Constitution, as the basis of my review. And in that, had the Utah legislature passed it, they would have begun the process, so the House would have done all their impeachment review, and they would have put together articles of impeachment, everything, sent to the Senate. The Senate would have tried and all that kind of stuff. Okay, people are somewhat familiar with that process, I believe. But, you know, I couldn't get anybody to give it the time of day. In fact, one legislator that I kind of thought might be a little bit of a friend and courageous enough to do it, you know what he said? He says, well, if I do this, nobody will ever vote for my bills anymore.
Who cares?
So backbone. Backbone doesn't exist.
Hold on, who cares? You got to start with honor and integrity regardless. And if that's all you go down for in history because you're the stand-up guy, let it be.
Well, I agree. I mean, you know, there's, you know, John F. Kennedy purportedly, and I say purportedly because he didn't write it, but it's purported that he wrote Profiles in Courage, that won a Pulitzer Prize and everything else, if I recall correctly. It was ghostwritten. I think he might have had a hand in writing or at least correcting some of the words that he wanted and the phraseology in the foreword that he sent in it. But he might have read it, I guess. But the point of the matter is it was one of those things that was kind of a precursor to him being elected and his political forwarding and all that kind of stuff. But I guess I just don't see a lot of the political hacks that are out there having any of that profile and courage. In that book, the reason I brought it up was that there were individuals that he wrote about that stood before a tidal wave of opposition, and they stood with courage. And there have been people like that in our history, people that have held office, and that's what it basically was about. Go take a look at it. I think it's worthy of your review, but I just hate fostering the idea that John F. Kennedy wrote it. So anyway, that's my preface to that. But the profiles in Courage are standout individuals that have said, no, we're not. I'd like, for the example, during the impeachment of Johnson in the post-Civil War era, somebody said no over my dead body. I mean, political disaster for individuals that did that. But nonetheless, they said, no, this is an unworthy effort. But we don't have people today that are courageous enough to do the right thing for the right reasons. Those people seem to be gone. I mean, you know, you bring up Rand Paul. Rand is a kind of a shining example of somebody that's trying to swim against that stream. But I am just absolutely shocked at how little courage, the go-along-to-get-along attitude is unbelievable. Oh, this kind of brings to mind, maybe this is a, I don't know that, but I'm guessing we might need to say more about Nuremberg 2.0. But, you know, you brought up in your intro MAGA Mike and his defense of religiosity in the prayer in the House of Representatives. I don't know why he didn't do something. We failed to talk about this when we were discussing this last Friday, but the House of Representatives has a chaplain, a religious person that opens their meetings with prayer. And this has been a tradition that continued over before the birth of the, well, before the new Constitution was ratified. And as soon as they get in session again, after the, you know, in April, they kind of got the government constituted again and were moving forward, got George Washington sworn in and everything. In May of 1789, they continued that tradition of a House of Representatives a chaplain, you know, someone that opens the meetings with prayer and performs marriages. They've done that in the past. They counsel with House of Representatives members that need some religiosity in their lives, which there's a bunch of them that do, but I don't know how many take advantage of it. But I have no idea why MAGA Mike didn't say, "You idiot." Of course, he wouldn't have said it that way. He's a little nicer than me. Do you have any kind of semblance of understanding of the historical perspective of this nation? He did a little bit in nice words and talked about the, you know, religion and morality and what George Washington talked about and John Adams and all of these kind of things. But, I mean, of course, he didn't bring up Thomas Jefferson, who was the proponent and advocate and ultimately resulted in the Virginia Religious Liberties Act being passed. All of those kind of things are absolutely essential. You know, First Amendment stuff and all this. Oh, my heavens. And there's MAGA Mike is in the House, and he's the speaker, and he could have turned to his left or right or wherever this woman sits. See, I don't think she sits in the front all the time or anything. But he could have said, well, there's our chaplain, you know, Margaret Kibben. I think is how you say her name. I'm not sure. I've never heard anybody talk about her. But they get elected. They're elected as individuals, not as a specific religion or anything like that. But there's been a religious chaplain that's been in the House since basically, well, 1789, of course. But in May of 1789, they continued it under our Constitution. I don't know, Sam. I just have to take a deep breath sometimes and say, who is where and who's
well, you're right. And who's where? I get an email from MAGA Mike and from Steve Scalise and these clowns, in my opinion, I don't know what you want to call it, the helm of the legislative body in America. And I look at this and I go, you know, they send me an email and they go, we got three urgent top issues. Number one, the Democrats are going to get elected. Number two, they're outraising us. And number three, we got a lot to do. And man, if they take over, we're in real trouble. And my response is, no offense, but I agree that the Democrats in many ways are worse than the Republicans. But I also agree it's a game they play, pointing the finger at one another, and all they do is share power. And this idea is insane. Well, we're talking about Nuremberg trials kicking off today, literally 78 years ago, highlighting the criminal activity and war crimes. And I look at Joe Biden, literally involved in, I mean, look, since Joe took office, we've now entered a, quote, Russia-Ukraine war, even though we've never declared war, even though we don't have any authority or any money to send overseas to arm, to train, to fund. Okay, we're involved in that with no authority whatsoever. We're now involved in the, quote, Israel-Hamas debate. It's dividing America like you wouldn't believe. Same scenario with funding and arming and money and everything else and training. We're now in a situation where we're in over 130 nations, militarily speaking. Our military is brought to the brink and brought thin, but we seem to want to have this hawkish fund the war at every turn, including the big old spend now funds war. They claim, oh, it left some things off the table, Sam. No, it didn't. It still lets the president spend like a drunken sailor. Okay, and they're telling me the biggest problems we face is I got to send them more money so they can stay elected? To do what? Liberty Roundtable Live, ladies and gentlemen.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA News, I'm Lance Pry. The people of Argentina have said no to socialism. The South American country elected conservative libertarian Javier Milei as its new president yesterday. Faced with an economy nearly destroyed by triple-digit inflation, a looming recession, and growing poverty, he won 56% of the vote versus 44% for his rival. Milei promised swift measures to pull the economy out of its deep crisis, saying he's ready to welcome all those willing to join his efforts to restore the country's prosperity. Milei will be president of Argentina December 10th. Former First Lady Rosalynn Carter, the wife of the nation's 39th president, has died.
The former First Lady passed away Sunday afternoon at the age of 96 at her home in Plains, Georgia. She married Jimmy Carter in 1946, and they were married for 77 years. As First Lady, she was an active part of the administration, serving as the president's personal emissary to Latin America countries and even sitting in on the cabinet meetings. She focused her advocacy on performing arts and improving mental health programs. I'm Dave Collins.
Elon Musk is facing an economic backlash. Disney, Apple, IBM, Warner Brothers, and Discovery were among the big companies to pull advertising buys from social media company X after Musk described an anti-Semitic post as, quote, the actual truth, end quote. Musk endorsed a post claiming members of the Jewish community were promoting hatred against white people. After being called anti-Semitic, Musk said nothing could be further from the truth. The Thanksgiving travel rush is officially underway. AAA guesstimates about 55.5 million people will hit the road and travel at least 50 miles for the holiday. Thanks for listening, my friend. It's well appreciated. USA News.
Omaha Steaks is rewriting the book on burgers with an all-new handmade texture for the juiciest home-style burgers you've ever tasted. Their pure ground burgers are made from single cuts of real aged Omaha steaks. These are truly steaks on a bun. Filet mignon, ribeye, New York strip, sirloin, and even brisket burgers. Now is the time to experience the exclusive Burger Perfection Flight for just $79.99. Go to omahasteaks.com and use promo code TREAT at checkout to get an extra $20 off your order plus free shipping. You'll get four of each pure ground burger so you can sample all the steak on a bun greatness. These burgers are crafted for a juicier, more tender experience, making your mouth water with every single bite. Don't wait. Go to omahasteaks.com. Use promo code TREAT at checkout and get $20 off the Burger Perfection Flight and discover your new burger obsession. Minimum order may be required.
So anyway, back to the point I was making, Dr. Bradley. I think people care. I think we need Nuremberg trials. I think when Fauci and crew destroy evidence, destroy emails, got caught literally lying to the American people saying that, hey, he had no knowledge that it was possible gain of research gone awry when he was funding it and he was told so and we got the pattern on it and everything else. But nobody is able to do anything about it. I mean, even Rand Paul speaks out, quizzes him down, proves the truth on public record. But we can't do anything about it. How do we move the Nuremberg trials? We need to, for sure. But not only just for Fauci and for COVID. As I mentioned before the pause, Joe Biden declaring literally war everywhere without authority whatsoever, funding war to the tune of billions of dollars everywhere. We're literally at war all over the world. Inflation's at an all-time out-of-control high. I say all-time because we've never had a situation where inflation's been this out of control with no backing of anything that would bring any stability to the marketplace except for more government/banking cartel manipulation. You know what? We have got to rein in criminals at the top of our government more than ever. But I don't see anybody even talking about Nuremberg trials except for you and me. Really?
Well, you know, I mean, first steps first. Let's take that. I mean, let's get Joe Biden impeached and removed from office. That has been hanging fire. People don't understand hang fire. I mean, it's a firearms thing. And anyway, we've been dragging our feet on that thing for so long now. It's time to move ahead. And they say, oh, we're putting together a good a good process. I suspect they're looking at...
They're lying. States. They've already got so much evidence. Every time they turn around, they send me an email telling me how much more evidence they have.
Exactly. So we need to take... First, we need to get Joe Biden removed from office and Kamala also by an impeachment process. I mean, there is due process and all of this kind of stuff. The Constitution allows...
And we support that, by the way.
Absolutely. Due process has got to happen. You never get it, Sam. Now, I never get it, but anyway, we can talk about that in a minute, maybe, if you want. But there's due process. There's a procedure that's followed. We need to have those occur. But, you know, afterwards, the Constitution says, yeah, you can have criminal trials after impeachment and removal from office. But here's the deal. Nuremberg trials, they hanged people. They hanged people. They put them to death. Some got, you know, life sentences and stuff like that. But the fact of the matter, and then, of course, they had the Tokyo trials and the Far East things and everything. There were other trials, too. I mean, this is just one that should be on the tip of everybody's tongue, particularly since it started 78 years ago today. But the fact of the matter is that there are very, very, very serious things happening. In fact, I don't know, maybe you've been following this. This has been out for some weeks, but there was a study done in the southern hemisphere of the world, okay, so the below the equator, south of the equator, I guess I should say. What's up and what's down in space, who knows. Anyway, they say that something on the range, almost 17 million people have died from the death jab, you know, the clot shot, 17 million. They say worldwide, which I believe is a phony baloney number because of all of the charade that they went through to say every motorcycle accident was due to COVID. And again, I overstate some of these things, but they say total worldwide, the COVID death was under 7 million. It was about 6 dot something. I don't remember the number exactly, but 6 dot something million. And in the southern hemisphere, they believe that they can attribute nearly 17 million deaths. I don't know, North America, you know, Europe weren't included in that, which would probably drive the numbers way through the ceiling, since the United States had the highest death per million rate claimed for COVID than by 45% than any other nation in the world, death per million. So it's kind of a leveling thing. You know, if somebody only had 50 million people and we got 330 million people, you know, they do it on a death per million. Anyway, so if you threw the Northern Hemisphere deaths in there, the death jab clot shot has killed, I don't know, maybe 5, 10, 15 times what they claim COVID did. And so, I mean, World War II, what, 55 million killed? Okay, that's a pretty big number. 27 million were killed in Soviet Union alone, something, who knows? I mean, the numbers are hard to really tie down. But the fact of the matter is we have had millions, perhaps tens of millions of deaths because of the responses of individuals. And that response was led by the United States. Dr. Fauci himself was probably the chief cook and bottle washer in this whole nonsense. Oh, Bill Gates has to be in the mix and all these kind of things, too. Klaus Schwab, you know, and his World Economic Forum. I think that we ought to cast a wide net. All of these goons that are seeking to destroy our liberty, our lives, our liberties, our property, our fortunes, whatever you want to call it, I think they've been put at stake. We lost more liberty during the COVID thing than even the 9/11/2001 nonsense that went on with the USA Patriot Act. I mean, these things are ongoing, egregious violations, and they're still a brew. And I think we need to say, no more, not on our watch. This is never going to happen again. And I think the Nuremberg 2.0 ought to be brought up. And I think, again, governors ought to be in that. State health department officials, local city councils, for crying out loud. I mean, it's unlikely that we'll get all of the goons that were in the local city councils that voted for the tyranny. But I think some name brands being out there would be really important if we... And I'm not saying that everybody ought to be hanged, not everybody, but maybe some. I think this is time. We drive.
Well, and,
the ground,
and this
baby.
Big debate about how many people really died from the vaccines is because the Epoch Times is willing to report studies around the world that others are not willing to report. And then the debate comes back, and all the mainstream press says, oh, this has been debunked. We did our own fact checks. It's not true. But it all depends on how you define true. What they'll do is they'll say, well, these studies weren't peer-reviewed. These studies this, these studies that. Oh, the VARS database just has all kinds of reports, but it's no verification of. And all we're doing is playing games with words here, doctor. Whether it's 70 million, whether it's, you know, this number for that number, I don't know that we know the numbers. But what we know is, what, let's say that it's not 70 million like the Epoch Times claims. Let's say that it's half that. It still dwarfs what we're talking about. Any way you slice it, even if it was 1/70th, a million died. In every other case in history, when even a few people die from the vaccine rollouts, they've halted the programs, doctor. So this is the point where they claim that, oh, fact check, that's not right. Now what we're debating is whose numbers are right. We're not debating the facts about what really happened. Okay, so headline says report falsely claims COVID vaccines killed 70 million worldwide. AFP and others report this. But I don't care if the number is 70 million or not. The point is the number is so high, and rather than admit that it's so high or tell the truth about that or tell the truth that even if it's 10% of that, 7 million, okay, they're lying, because what they do is they just overlook and say, oh, well, we're going to debunk the number, but we're going to avoid the truth, right? That, to me, is derelict in reporting duty, to say the least. They know that even if you can't count on the VARS database, every case in that database being factual, they know that represents just a tiny fraction of the real harm done. They know that if the number by all these global studies show 70 million, whether those numbers are factual or not, who knows? They've been faking numbers everywhere. So it's true, it's hard to get a handle on the numbers. But they know the numbers are massive. They're just lying as they play games with fact checks, doctor.
It's so true. You know, you say the VARs, oh, no, they're not accurate. We know there's some bunk in there and so on. Well, all of the credible studies that have been done of VARs, this study about, you know, these vaccine adverse reaction things that, okay, all the credible studies say the most likely they're only reporting 1% of the deaths or the adverse reactions, and the most generous view of it is that they're reporting 1 in 10, so 10%. So even if you say it's on credit, well, it's a government reporting process. It's their process. It's screwed up if they screwed it up. Okay. But getting back to your point of how many millions does it take, I remember well the 1976 Gerald Ford debacle with his flu shot. And, you know, we had one death, my friend, that was attributed to it. And I don't believe that, by the way, because I believe that soldier had some other situations and problems. He was being treated in the military by their medical system, by the way. But at any rate, one death. We lost more people to the shot. Well, the shot probably had less than two handfuls. Let's say less than 10 deaths for the shot. And they stopped it. They had the courage to stop it then. And the jackasses that are running things today can't even talk about it.
Well, and they just say we're lying. Let's skip the break and talk about this more. This is critical. So here's my point, doctor. I don't know the number if it's 70 million. I don't know the number if it's 30 million. I don't know the number from the VARS database, because what they want to claim is that, well, none of these things are fact-checkable. They haven't been peer-reviewed. Well, think how in the last many years we've seen peer-reviewed studies go down in flames. Authors fudged data. We see this in climate change where, you know, they claim all these things and we find out it's bunk and that they misrepresented this and they lied about that and they withheld information about that. Peer review has proven to be a credibility crisis in and of itself. But let's say this. How many people died from COVID alone? You know, we don't know. Comorbidities could be the cause of death, but COVID triggered it. It's so nuanced and so crazy. Let's highlight the real point. They rolled out vaccines. They told you they were safe and effective. They did it without evidence, without studies, without a, they did it under, quote, an emergency approval. And now it's gone south to the point where it's disaster. Forget the number. It's disaster. And they won't admit it. That's the real fake news and the real cover-up. Forget the number. Because what they want to do is get stuck on a number and try to discredit us over the number. Okay? They say COVID-19 vaccines have saved, not killed millions. USA Today. Where's the proof in that, doctor? See, why don't we have open debates about this? Why don't we let all the doctors and all the experts who have done these studies really get to the table and have a real throwdown, accurate debate on facts?
Well, that,
they say
that's
fewer than 260 million people have died globally from all causes since the COVID-19. Well, if that's true, then to what causes, see? And they're not really at all dealing with the truth. Every single news organization has a manipulated way to try to debunk this.
Nothing to see here, folks. Just move along. That's the problem is that, well, let's look. I mean, you know, if you went to a court situation and you had cross-examination and all those kind of things, everybody brought their expert witnesses in and all that kind of stuff, and you were able to bring in facts that were verifiable through all of the evidentiary kind of things that happen in court, we would come to a conclusion. If we're wrong, we're wrong. We walk away from that. But the fact of the matter is that the spin that's there and this idea of, well, you can't prove it and prove it. Well, I'll just give an example. IHC, their Intermountain Healthcare here in Utah, and they've got a bigger footprint now, I guess. Big medical organization, multi-billion dollar medical organization. During the early times of the 2020 panic, somebody said they ought to do a study on hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin. And it got kiboshed days into it by the most senior leadership. They said, no, we're not going to study that. No. It's off label use, and we don't believe, you know. Almost every medicine that's out there gets used off-label for something. If they find it works, they try it. And if it worked, it worked. But they shut it down. So how do you get a peer-reviewed study when large organizations that could do a credible study, if they were willing to and honorable to and honest enough and everything like that, could do one, but they shut them down and will not allow them to happen? You know, these hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin and so on, hundreds of millions have taken billions of doses over the years that they've been out there with virtually no bad side effects. And some people were getting pretty darn good results with it. And so they say, oh, no, that's off label. We can't do that. It's horse paste.
Now, let me throw out something important here to know. They claim that the Washington Post is the one that reported this first. And so they're debunking WAPO. Now, I'm not a defender of the Washington Post. But headline from Washington Post says this, quote, analysis, vaccinated people make up the majority of COVID deaths, Washington Post. Well, then the Epoch Times did a bunch of review and found out they were right. And there's more studies to back that all up. That's the Epoch Times. Now, here's what's interesting. Isn't the Washington Post the group that came out and said, yeah, Hunter's laptop's real? And then they mocked and ridiculed and lied and said they were bogus. And then eventually they admitted they were right. Isn't that true? Isn't it WAPO that happened to?
I don't know the genesis of all of that. Well, I'll tell you, Sam, opinions are like noses,
but,
I'll say.
But think almost about it. They had the facts on that. They got slaughtered for being wrong. Then it turns out they were right. And now we're starting to see the same thing is going to happen here.
Yeah, let's go on an open trial. Let's put C-SPAN in there. Let's broadcast them. I remember there were times when, you know, people actually watched what was happening in their government. I mean, when Nixon, the discussions of Nixon's wrongdoings and the Watergate thing were on board, people were spellbound. I mean, I was in Southern California at the time. You know, I'd go in people's homes and there's the hearings on their TV set, for crying out loud. You know, I mean, the people were paying attention. Nowadays, it's nothing to see here, folks. Let's move along. If we got that attitude to the nth degree, there is nothing they can't do on us. I mean, I don't care. Pick anything you want, whether it's the Kennedy assassination or the 9/11 commission report. You know, you got the Warren Commission, you got the 9/11 report. I mean, these things are absolute bunk when you get down to peeling the onion on the thing. And so those are controversies. But if you let things just lie there and nobody ever talks about it, they pull the next stunt on us. You know, the Klaus Schwab crowd will say, well, as the big drivers of the world's direction, we're going to say this happens next, or Bill Gates says it, or whomever, you know. And people keep funding the United Nations and the World Health Organizations and UNICEF, and we give millions upon millions of dollars to it, and everybody, kumbaya, you know, the CDC. CDC's a totally feckless organization that has no credibility. The World Health Organization, zero. The National Institute of Health.
Yeah, but you know what? They're working on throwing the WHO down our throats now, though. You got Joe Biden working for the WHO to try to eclipse United States sovereignty with regards to health, with regards to vaccine. I don't know what you call them, vaccine passports or whatever
mandates
words we're going to use for those things,
true.
Mandates, cards, whatever. And you've got literally Joe Biden advocating for the WHO to breach American sovereignty with regards to the health of every human on the planet. And you could say, well, hey, it can't pass Congress. It's not constitutional. All those things are facts, but it doesn't change the fact that they back into this nevertheless. So they even admit the analysis, vaccinated people make up majority of COVID deaths, but then they say, but that's no indication the vaccine doesn't work. Or, hey, let's debate that, and they put their own spins on this to the point where we can never, ever, ever win these battles, folks. Let me give you another example to make the point. Totally different topic, kind of same subject. Colorado judge rules Jan 6th was an insurrection. Orders the state secretary, though, to put Trump back on the ballot. She ruled that Section 3 of the 14th Amendment was not meant to cover, quote, U.S. presidents. So it's okay, I guess. Catherine Young, the Epoch Times, with this article. And so what we're going to do is we're going to basically set a court precedent that says it was an insurrection, but Donald could still be on the ballot. This is disaster when a single robed thug says this was an insurrection, because now that's going to be quoted as the definitive, yes, it was an insurrection, when it was not. Look, people didn't have guns, doctor. People didn't kill anybody. The only person that really died was the government shooting Ashley Babbitt and murdering her in cold blood when she was unarmed. Other than that, there was no murders that day. There were people that died due to unique circumstances, like a concert, like a crowd. People got trampled and hurt and these different things. But the government's the only one guilty of killing anybody. And you look at this thing, and now they're going to call it an insurrection. Who has a gunless insurrection, doctor?
Well, I think we had an insurrection on Liberty, and they used injection needles. I mean, it doesn't.
Well, there you go.
They did it. All right. But the point of the matter is you're
but
right.
But that is a shot,
this,
though, to make your point.
That's true. Colorado judge, though, I mean, you're absolutely correct. This will be touted as a court adjudicated finding. You know, it suddenly makes it credible, you know. The judge, in a side note, written probably in a, oh, by the way, kind of commentary, claims that Trump was involved in an insurrection. But nevertheless, he's going to be on the ballot. So there was some judgment that was said you can't take him off, which we have to say, yep, that was a correct decision. But this idea of saying absolutely it was an insurrection, absolutely Trump had, you know, culpability in this thing, I think that let's see how many people talk about this as being an adjudicated decision that came to the courts. Just because a bozo judge, I mean, you know, we have had probably most of the successful impeachments that have happened throughout the history of the United States have been against judges. There was an attempt during Jefferson's administration to have Chase removed. Samuel Chase, I believe, is his name. Didn't succeed, but he was a Supreme Court justice. But we had Abe Fortas back in 1969 that resigned because of a pending impeachment. But most of the other judges below that level, almost everybody that's been removed for impeachment have been judges. And it's been from everything from lewd comments to women that were in their court to drunkenness on the bench and everything. We have a staggering number, speaking of drunkenness, a staggering number, I don't know why I came up with that term, of of judges that are absolutely unqualified to be in office.
Well, if the shoe fits, doctor, there you go.
Well, that's the thing, and we have some of these people that have been nominated by Biden now that couldn't find their way out of a wet paper bag judicially or legally or any kind of credible. I mean, I think get a degree from some of these law schools and they pencil them through, I swear, for equal opportunity kind of purposes. In fact, their whole process by even obtaining a position in some of these quote-unquote Ivy League kind of institutions is so polluted now. And someday, I tell you, I don't know when it'll be, maybe after the Savior returns and sanity fully comes back, but somebody's going to say, oh, you graduated from Harvard? I'm sorry. Or Yale or Princeton or wherever, you know.
Yes, they will.
State University, whatever. I mean,
now, by the way, so after they said this was an insurrection, but Donald can be on the ballot, judge denies Donald Trump's request to strike inflammatory statements about January 6th from the indictment. So Donald's saying, hey, wait a minute, you know what? These are inflammatory statements calling it an insurrection. It wasn't one. There's no evidence. There's no guns. The government, look, if they wanted an insurrection, they would have went into the Capitol and killed all kinds of people. All there was a little bit of damage because of the crowds. And all there was the government killing Ashley Babbitt. Other than that, there wasn't any insurrection. Yeah, somebody put their foot on somebody's desk and somebody stole a pencil or something stupid like that. People took pictures inside the Capitol and some people made some stupid statements and, you know, Ray Epps and stuff. We're going in. We're taking them out. Nobody got harmed except for the government harming people, really. And so Donald Trump tried to strike these inflammatory statements from the court and got denied by the same judge that literally called it an insurrection. They're setting the stage to trap us all, doctor. Write it down. I'm telling you right now, every one of us will be an insurrectionist. Every one of us will be a terrorist. Every one of us will be a domestic threat unless you shut up and go along with the global World Economic Forum communist regime.
Well, that's the problem. You know, all of these things that they're straining at gnats to swallow, whether it's treason or insurrection or anything like that, all of these things have very specific legal definitions. And for example, treason has only been ruled to be possible only when an action is carried out on behalf of an enemy during a constitutionally declared war. I mean, these things, the narrowness of definitions on things like this are never really exposed to the public. And people say, well, by golly, there was this or that or whatever happened. And there's never been a full review of this thing. And to convict someone based upon a news report, I mean, here's exactly what happened. I'll go back to our COVID stuff. They said safe and effective and a godsend based upon marketing hype from a pharma company. And we're saying sedition based upon marketing hype from newspapers and the opposition in the different political parties. It's all hype. There is nothing there, nothing to see here, folks, really, but they're making something out of it.
You better get on your knees and pray for the Republic and then stand up and get involved and find out what you can do to preserve the greatest country on the face of the earth. That's all I can say. And it starts with turning to God, family, and country. Jesus Christ lives. He is the Prince of Peace, and we would do well to emulate him to the best of our imperfect ability. God save the Republic of the United States of America. Thank you, Dr. Adams.